We're starting a new series here in our midweek services, and so we've called it Life Hacks, Biblical Wisdom for Every Day. This is Clever Solutions to Life's Tricky Problems. How many's ever had a problem or two? How many know the Bible addresses everything that comes our way in some form or fashion? Amen. If you can't find it black and white, you can find it in a principle that is dressed in Scripture. And although we're many years removed from the actual text of Scripture, how many know people's problems are still basically the same? Same old devil. And boy, he fights the people of God. And so we're going to be looking at this. And tonight's topic is taken from verses 20 and 21. But let's go ahead and read Proverbs 1:1-7, because we're going to look at that as we go through these. Now, this is not going to be exhaustive. Obviously, we would be in the book of Proverbs for years if we took it verse by verse. So this is going to be more of a topical study. About 10 or so years ago, I did do a few lessons and a series from Proverbs. But how many know 10 years ago was a decade ago? And this is obviously new stuff. It's not just going back to my files and pulling out the same stuff. It's all different topics for the most part. And so that's where we're going tonight. So Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1-7. Maybe we'll have about 8 to 12 maybe different sessions or lessons from Proverbs, all right? So let's read the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Read verse 7 with me, if you will. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now drop down to verse 20 and 21. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, and we're going to be delving into what she says. All right? We'll stop right there. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray that you will open it to us as we embark on this teaching from your word, from a great book, Father. I pray that our ears would be unstopped and our hearts would be unlocked, and that seeds would be sown and that fruit will be the result thereof. In Christ's name, all God's children say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Trust you received a worksheet. If not, slip your hand up and one of those brothers back there will provide you with one if you'd like to take a few notes. So what I hope we can do in the upcoming lessons is exactly what our topic says, improve our street smarts. Street smarts for street-wise living. Why? Because wisdom is in the streets. That's what the writer said. And, you know, I was thinking this week, there's what's called church smarts. There's book smarts. There's school smarts. And then there's street smarts, right? Well, you say, what's a street smart? It's the nitty-gritty essentials. It's the fundamental, basic, brass tacks. It's the nuts and bolts, practical kind of stuff. And so as we begin, I want to encourage you, though, bring your Bibles and keep them open. Open your Bible through every session and lesson as we go through this series, because most of this series will take us all over, okay, the book of Proverbs. We're going to be putting some verses together in various chapters and places, and it'll be easy to get lost if you don't have your Bible, okay? One helpful bit of advice that I was given one time was this: anytime you read a passage of Scripture, have the eye of an eagle. You say, what do you mean? It means be observant. Huh? Because we often gloss over words and skip over details that offer some timeless principles for living. And I recall reading about an old Indian who asked a stranger if he had seen the man who had stolen his guns. And during the conversation, the Indian went on to say that the robber was young, short, heavy, and spoke with an Eastern accent. The stranger replied, well, then you must have gotten a pretty good look at him. The Indian replied and said, no, I never saw him. But I know he's young because his footprints in the snow were crisp and showed no signs of dragging his feet. He's short because I found a box that he stood on in order to reach my guns. I know he's heavy because his footprints sank deep into the snow. And I figure he was of an Eastern accent because he wore shoes instead of cowboy boots. And I read that and I thought, well, he was pretty observant. Huh? Maybe he should go to work for CSI. He analyzed those facts and came up to some logical conclusions. And so how many know the Holy Ghost can help us do that when we come to God's Word? But only when we keep our Bibles open and accessible. And so I thought this week that with the, I'm going to just call it the fraying of the moral fabric of America, we now have a generation that's not sure what is virtuous and what is not virtuous anymore. The book of Proverbs is the ultimate book of virtues. All we have to do is walk out the door of our homes and turn on the media or pick up a newspaper or walk into a public school or go into the office, and we see what's wrong with America. We've lost the concept of character and virtue. Can you say those two things with me? Character and virtue. So what I want to do in this series is really simple. I want us to address the instilling of character and values, a.k.a. learning what God has said about what is right, what is wrong, because for a world that's lost its way, how many know God wrote a book to bring us back? He really did. And that book is the book of Proverbs. And I don't often preach from it because it's kind of an unusual book. But we're going to be in Proverbs for several weeks as the Lord wills. And I like it because I especially like the way, I don't know if you read much of Max Lucado's books, but I like him as an author. And he's a very good communicator. And he put it this way. He said, the book of Proverbs is a collection of lamps. Lamps that do for our heart what lamps in our house do for our eyes. What is that? He said, they chase away the darkness. He said, study in the book of Proverbs turns on the lamps in the dark corners of life. And I thought, well, let's commit ourselves to come, if you can, each Wednesday night for the next few weeks. Maybe God will flip on more than just a few lights for us in our lives. And if I could say anything about the book of Proverbs, it's practical, it's meaty, but I want you to get down about three different points. I think it is three on your handout here that I feel we need to remember. Number one is the book of Proverbs is practical and down to earth. Number two, the book of Proverbs is timeless. Number three, the book of Proverbs is amazingly relevant. So, although it was written 3,000 years ago, it still speaks today. And by the way, the word proverb itself in the Latin comes from proverb, and it means in the place of words. In the place of words, or in the place of speaking. So you say, what's a proverb? A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. So in just a few short words, it says something that would otherwise take maybe a long sermon to get across. How many say, well, I'll sign up for proverb? Yeah. You use proverbs. We use proverbs in our culture. For example, a stitch in time saves nine. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. What's this one? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. How many are still waiting on the wealthy part to come through? Here's the scriptural ones. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Here's another one. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Those are proverbs, and they are short sayings. Notice on your worksheet. That take the place of long explanations. Short sayings that take the place of long explanations. They're practical, timeless, and relevant. They teach us street smart living. Now, let me say something here. Proverbs, notice this on your worksheet. Proverbs are principles, not promises. They tell us how life is supposed to work. They do not promise that life will work. Okay? And we need to be clear on that, because the Proverbs commend certain paths to God's people because they reflect the ways that God ordinarily distributes his blessings. But ordinarily does not necessarily mean absolutely. Because parents who, for example, train up their children in the fear of the Lord, oftentimes find themselves going down the path of a lot of heartache, enduring terrible hardship in their homes. And they say, well, God, you promised. You need to realize Proverbs are not promises. If they were, it would be the book of promises. They are sayings that direct us toward general principles that must be applied carefully in a fallen world where life is all out of kilter. And as the book of Job, as the book of Ecclesiastes illustrates so vividly, we misconstrue the word of God when we treat Proverbs as if they were divine promises. R.C. Sproul said, a common mistake in biblical interpretation and application is to give a proverbial saying the weight or the force of a moral absolute. You're setting yourself up for a fall when that happens. The Proverbs, James Dobson said, appear to represent likelihoods rather than absolutes with God's personal guarantee attached. In other words, all agree. Proverbs are general but not universal statements. They are usually or generally or ordinarily true. They speak of what is likely, not of what is guaranteed. So some of them can be a promise, and it's up to our wisdom. That's why wisdom's so important. It's up to us to activate wisdom to apply them in their context, okay? Because they can be a promise, don't get me wrong, they can be a promise, but always in their context. You can't just rip a proverb and place it in any context and say it's a promise, because you're going to find yourself disappointed if you do so, all right? So they're short sayings that teach us how to live, and really what the idea here is to teach us how to live skillfully. Boy, I don't want to just live. I want to live skillfully. Hello. Now, when you jump into the book, we have four different benefits that God promises to us for studying the book of Proverbs. Number one, we find from verse 1 that we'll learn the art of skillful living. Now, the word for wisdom in the Hebrew is chokmah. Now, I'm not a Hebrew. If I was a real Hebrew, I would say that with more deep throat. Just chokmah. It's kind of the way it sounds. But that refers to not just head knowledge. Chokmah does not just refer to head knowledge, and it does not even just refer to heart knowledge. Actually, chokmah in the Old Testament was used for anybody who had an unusual skill in any area. For example, if a craftsman was excellent at making a certain piece of furniture, he was known as a craftsman that had chokmah. A composer who could take notes and put them together and make beautiful music was said to be skilled in the art of music, and that was known as chokmah. A person who was a great speaker who could make his ideas clear and communicate well, he was said to have chokmah. And if he was a good counselor, if he could solve the problems of people that would come to him for counseling, he was known as someone with chokmah, which is wisdom. It means to be skilled in some area of life. So when we take that definition and apply it to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully from God's point of view. Notice that on your worksheet. That is, you'll be good at living your life. You'll be good at facing the problems that come into your life. You'll be good at handling whatever comes your way if you have what? Wisdom. Chokmah. You're going to remember that, aren't you? All right, so we'll learn the art of skillful living. Number two, will gain mental alertness. From verse 2, this is something that some of us may need. Verse 2 says, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, the word understanding means the ability to discriminate between two things, two different things. What are we to discriminate? Between right and wrong. So by reading the book of Proverbs, we'll be sharper mentally, be more alert mentally to discriminate between right and wrong. Number three, we'll develop moral insight. He uses that phrase to understand judgment and equity. It means to be shrewd and clever. Now, the words shrewd and clever kind of, in our day and age, kind of cross over into the negative area, don't they? We don't like shrewd and clever. But in the Hebrew, they have a positive sense in this verse that simply means street smart. It means that when you're out on the street, you know how to handle yourself. If you have a problem, you know how to get out of it. Another word for that's quite prevalent in the book of Proverbs is the word prudent. Remember that old word? A person who has prudence is clever, is shrewd in their ways of dealing with the world as not to be taken advantage of. How many's ever been taken advantage of? Few. Yeah, you don't like that feeling, do you? So how many know the world wants to take advantage of us? The devil definitely does. And he knows. So the wise person, the prudent person, the one that is shrewd and clever, according to the Hebrew, he knows how to do what is right, knows how to do what is just and what is fair. All right? Number four, and we'll begin to grow up. Verse four. I want you to notice the two groups of people in verse four. There are the number one, simple. Everybody say simple. There's the simple, and then there's number two, the young. So first of all, let's say, who are the simple? Who are the simple? Well, it doesn't refer to IQ, okay? It can, but that's not the idea here. It does not refer to mental ability in any way at all, because in the Bible, the word simple refers to people who are gullible, who are naive, huh? You say, what's the signs that a person is naive and gullible? They're easily tricked. They're a sucker for a sob story. They're easily conned and scammed. Hello? Just keeping it real, folks. And they make the same dumb mistakes over and over and over. I mean, sometimes we talk to people and they're all messed up. And they're like, why did this happen to me? And we tell them what they did wrong or what Scripture says, the principle that they violated, and we tell them how they need to get right. Oh, okay, they agree to do it. And they go out and make the same mistake. They come back and they ask, what did I do wrong? And we tell them what they did wrong, what they need to do. Okay. And they go out and make the... Yeah, you got it. You've met some of those too, haven't you? And they go through the process again, and they get into the same bad relationships over and over and over again. They make the same bad investments over and over and over again. They say the same foolish things over and over and over again. They hurt their friends the same way. They make promises they break. They start out trying to do something, but they bite off more than they can chew, and they have to back off over and over. Anybody know anybody like that? The book of Proverbs teach us how to break the cycle of making the same mistakes over and over and over again. It will teach us how to get on the right path and break the cycle of making these wrong decisions. Okay? So he says it's for the simple. And then he says, the young. Who are the young? Well, in the biblical sense, the young are people who aren't old. So who's old? The Bible talks a lot about old people. It talks about the wisdom of the aged. It talks about the crown of gray hair being the crown of the godly. That means this: if you follow the Lord from the time you're young, by the time you're old, you'll be wise. Right? You may start off foolish, you may start off simple and gullible, but at the end, you'll be prudent, you'll be disciplined, you'll be wise. Now, it's not chronological, but by the time you're 40 or 50, you should have some street smarts. Hello? There's no excuse for still being gullible when you're 45. Oh, it's getting quieter in here. There are gullible 45-year-olds all over the place. People in midlife crisis and all that. There's no excuse for it. Hello? They ought to wise up and start living the way God says you ought to live. It's not a matter of age, because I've known some 75-year-olds who are quite gullible. They are making the same mistakes they made when they were 25. Hello? It's not strictly chronological, but the older we get, the wiser we ought to become. And when we are young, we just don't know enough yet. We haven't lived long enough. We haven't seen enough of life yet to really experience the street smarts. I mean, how young is young? Well, let's say, for the sake of this lesson, 30 years. 30 years old. You're young if you're under 30. Because in the Old Testament, you had to be 30 to be a priest. Okay, let's use that. Now, if you're under 20, you're still a child. Because how many know there's no such category in the Old Testament as a teenager? Huh? That's something we came up with. We invented that. That's nowhere in the Scripture. You're a child, then you're a young child, and then you're an adult. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, if you are young, he says, listen, you really need this book. And the younger you are, the more you need this book. Not because of any reason other than when you're young, you just haven't had enough experience to know what life is really all about. I mean, how many know God wants Pastor Jones at 41 years old to continue to grow in wisdom? Amen. There were things I did as a younger man, as a foolish younger man, as a foolish younger married man, even as a foolish younger pastor. Hello? I mean, at a young age, there were things I needed to learn. I needed to grow in wisdom. Huh? Like when you first get married, I found out you don't help your wife by washing her clothes on hot and drying them on hot. It's just not wise. Hey, dear, I dried your clothes. They're all folded. They're ready to put away. I didn't realize they were so small. As a young man, I need to learn some things. 17 years later, by the grace of God, I've grown in wisdom in the laundry room. But I still have a long way to go. She sees me in the laundry room. She's just like, time out. Huh? I wish I had handled finances more wisely. I was foolish. I was a naive young man. Sorry to say, I didn't seek out good wisdom when it came to finances when I was younger. I would just go out and we need that, we need this, whip out the credit card, dig the financial pit deeper. Hello, beloved. I was foolish as a young man. But thank God, you can outgrow it. Hello? That's what Proverbs is all about, growing in wisdom. Some of that wisdom had to be gained. I had to gain some of my wisdom through correction, through suffering the consequences of my unwise decisions, right? That's why this book is here. To help the young know how to grow up morally, ethically, and spiritually. Now we come to verse 7, which is really the climax of the whole first passage. Verse 7 is the theme, I think, of the book of Proverbs, when it says, the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom or instruction. Now, let's take the last part of that verse first, okay? We're going to take the last part of that verse first, where it says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, as you see on your worksheet, there are about 5 different words in the book of Proverbs that are translated by the word fool. So when you see the word fool, you have to ask, you have to find out what the Hebrew word is, because they all have different meanings. Notice on your worksheet, there's the young fool, there's the naive fool, there's the gullible fool, there's the angry fool, there's the arrogant, stubborn, hard-headed fool who won't listen to anyone's advice. That's 5. And this final one, the arrogant, stubborn, hard-headed fool, that's the word that's used here in verse 7. It is the most extreme form of the word fool. Let me give you a 2-way test to spot a fool. Number 1, a fool doesn't know what he's doing. How many's found that out? A fool doesn't know what he's doing. Secondly, he really doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on around him. He doesn't even care enough to wise up and try to figure it out. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. How many know a wise person has to say, I don't know, more than once? I don't know, but would you teach me? I don't know, but I sure would like to learn. I don't know, but can you help me? That's the wise person. But the fool says, I don't know, I don't care, I don't want to learn anything, and you can't teach me anything. Oh, my goodness, you ever met somebody like that? You just want to give them a nice, never mind. In the love of God, obviously. Now let's look at this beginning of the verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, the most important word there is beginning, beginning, beginning. It has 3 meanings. It means that which is first in order of priorities, that which is basic and foundational. Secondly, it means the essence or the central truth of something. Or third, it means the capstone, the ultimate goal of something. So what is the fear of the Lord? It is not cringing terror. It is respecting God for who He is. It is understanding that God is God and we are not. The fear of the Lord is to bow the knee before Almighty God and acknowledge that He made the world and He runs the world according to His plan. And respect for God is where knowledge begins. It is where knowledge continues, and it is where all knowledge ends up. Notice that on your worksheet. So let's look at this with 3 conclusions. Because the road of wisdom, the road of true wisdom, notice on your worksheet, leads to a temple, not a palace. What do you mean by that? I mean, true wisdom always leads back to God, where we worship God and we say, wow, God, you're so holy. You're so wise. Because if it leads to a palace, listen, if your learning leads you away from God, away from worship of God, you're learning the wrong things. If your learning leads you toward greater independence from God and independence from His Word, then you've been studying at the feet of the wrong teachers. Amen. Because all true learning begins with the understanding that there is a God to whom all of us must one day give account. So the road of wisdom leads to a temple, not a palace. Have you ever met somebody that, boy, they just know it all, and it's like they're the king in their palace? Whew. You better be careful, because that's one of the signs of they may have been studying a lot, and learning a lot, but they've been learning at the feet of the wrong teachers. Number two, all education that leaves God out omits the central principle of the universe. Did you know that our public school system was founded 150 plus years ago by people? Let me say this. If they were not practicing Christians, at least they believed in Judeo-Christian principles. And the truth of the Bible, they believed, was somewhere in there as the foundation of all learning. I mean, go back, look it up. The public school system in America was founded on biblical principles. That is why you go back to the 19th century, read the McGuffey readers. When they wanted to teach the ABCs, what was it? It was A, all have sinned. Yeah, can you imagine that? B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess your sins and you will be forgiven. All education was based on basically biblical foundation. Can you imagine what would happen nowadays? If a teacher stood up on the first day of class and said, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to teach you from the standpoint of the Christian faith. Can you imagine what would happen if they said, I'm going to let my Christian faith influence all of my classroom instruction? I'm going to be up front with you. You don't have to believe what I believe, but I am not going to hide my Christian faith any longer. I'm going to teach you everything I teach you, whether it's math, geography, algebra, English, world history, cultural diversity. I'm going to teach it to you from the standpoint of the Christian faith, because I believe that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you know how far that would go? Right out the door. Wouldn't last long, would it? I'm telling you, students love to protest nowadays. Whew, that would cause an epic stir, wouldn't it? See, is it any wonder that our young people have no conscience in our generation? When we take God and His Word out of the equation, there's no moral basis for moral conscience. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we take God out of the process, we are teaching them numbers and reading and writing and arithmetic, but we're not teaching them that the most important thing in all the universe is there's a God, and that He has spoken, and that His Word is true. And when we take God out of the equation, there's no basis for moral conscience. Listen, I thank God for every Christian teacher, don't you? Those people in public schools, those teachers, Christian teachers, have my 100% undivided support. I support every teacher, every faculty and staff, every administration official, and say, God bless you. Why? Because they are missionaries. Hello? Because when God is taken out of a society, away from the educational system, what we get is the chaos that accompanies a pagan culture. And that's what we have in America today. No crime bill, no educational bill, no bureaucratic solution can solve the problem until we come back to what God has said 3,000 years ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I believe in education. I attended Bible school. I'm still working on my degrees. I believe in the value of education. But listen, if you have a PhD in some field, but you don't have the fear of the Lord, what you have is an intellectual genius, but a spiritual moron. Hello? If you have all the book learning and all the degrees, but you don't have the fear of the Lord, you would be better to be an illiterate reader of the Bible who at least believes in God. If you have to make a choice, choose the fear of the Lord. Because without it, you're always going to be in spiritual kindergarten. Huh? Without the fear of the Lord, you may be an intellectual giant, but you are a moral and spiritual pygmy. And that's why number three says God honors those who builds their lives on the unshakable foundation of His unchanging truth. How many believe that? I encourage you to do it. Let's build our lives on the unshakable foundation. All right, closing challenge here. Proverbs challenges the young. So if you're under 30, you're young. Solomon preached these sermons for you first, for the young generation. How many times does Proverbs say, my son? Listen, my son? My son? All right? So Proverbs challenges the young. Proverbs also challenges parents and grandparents. Why? Because we are to listen and then pass on what we learn. Does that make sense? Number three, Proverbs challenges men. A Newsweek article some time ago, and this Newsweek article was written from a non-Christian perspective, okay? But even they saw that one of the problems about teaching virtue, they said, is us men, we've left it to the women. We have women in Sunday school, women in the church, women doing all the teaching. A lot of times in public school or in other schools, Newsweek said men have to learn virtue and they have to begin to teach it. Newsweek wrote an article sometime after that. They wrote it about the promise keepers. Okay? And at the very end, quoting what they called the pastor of the biker church in Las Vegas. But they quoted him on the importance of men in spiritual leadership. And this is what he said. I thought it was pretty good. Okay, this is the pastor of the biker church. Okay. He said, my grandmother was a praying woman. My granddaddy was a fishing man. It has been that way as long as I can remember. And he said, it's not going to change as long as women do the praying and men do the fishing. He said, it's time for men to start doing some praying and some teaching and to develop virtue and character and become spiritual leaders in their homes. Become spiritual leaders in their churches and in their places of work and in the school and in our society. It's not going to change until we men make it change. And I thought, wow, how many know, brothers, it does start with us. When we change, our families will change. When we change, the churches can change. When we change, the world around us can change. So men, rise up. Proverbs talks to the men and men take seriously the call to be men of character. All right, Sister Jones, come to the piano, please. Number four, Proverbs challenges all of us. Pay attention to what God is saying. Listen to His Word. If you don't know where else to begin applying this topic of wisdom and character and virtue, just start here. Do what Billy Graham does. For over 50 years, Billy Graham has had a special practice in his devotional life because there's 31 days usually in a month, and there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So for 50-plus years, Billy Graham has read one chapter a day of the book of Proverbs. That's pretty good. That's a good practice, isn't it? He said, along with his other reading, he doesn't just read Proverbs only, but he said, that's my practical stuff for the day. He always reads. So if you don't know where to start after this first session, start right there. Let's go back to God's Word. Hey, let's go back and get street smart. Right? Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and take your hymn book and join me on page 325. 325. I believe that's the page I'm looking for. That simply says, it's a course, Jesus is the answer. 325. Go ahead, if you'd like to, go ahead and stand with me. So if you're here tonight and you've got questions, I want to remind all of us, Jesus has an answer. How many believe that? How many, you believe it on this side? How about right here in the middle? How about over here? Good. How many know Jesus has always been the answer? He is the answer presently, and He will always be the answer in the future. So let's sing it. And let's just take a moment and let's just praise Him and worship Him right where you're at as we sing it. I know Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the
answer.
Oh, thank You, Lord.
The world today.
Above Him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Father, here tonight, I don't know what the questions are in the hearts of these great people. But Lord, we're human, and I have a feeling we have plenty of questions. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we not feed our doubts, but rather help us to feed our faith. And Lord, where we have questions, help us to seek answers, not to seek them in the seat of the scornful, but Lord, at Your feet, at Your feet. As we go through and as we glean from the book of Proverbs, Lord, I pray that some answers will come and some questions will be answered. And Lord, that we will be directed, if not to the answer, we'll be directed the right direction so we can receive an answer later down the line. And Lord, help us, Lord, to just stay humble in Your presence. And Lord, with all of our getting as we get wisdom and knowledge, help us that it leads us closer to You as we worship You, as we adore You. God, I just pray that we'll just have that attitude of worship And Lord, I pray that we'll just invite others and share the gospel with others and do our best to take somebody to heaven with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Jesus is the answer. If you got to go, we understand. If you'd like to spend some time in the presence of the Lord around the altars, worshiping God, or just taking a moment and asking God for wisdom in an area of your life, you're welcome to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Above Him, there's no other.